The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashas are Achrei Meis Kedoshim. In Parashas Kedoshim, Perek Yutes Posuk Yudzayin, the Torah writes, Leisisne asochicho bilvavecho, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. Hecheach techeach es amisecho veleisis olav cheit. You shall rebuke your fellow man, and leisis olav cheit, but you shall not incur yourself with sin. This mitzvah, we have the mitzvah of hecheach techeach es amisecho techocho. Techocho is what we would call in English rebuke, or admonishment, or redirection. When someone has gone off in the wrong way, it's a mitzvah to redirect him. And this mitzvah means, is leyasher es mi sheteya min haderech hayosher. If someone strays from the derech hayosher, from the upright path, it's a mitzvah to bring him back to the proper way. And perhaps we can say the Shmichas Advorim, that the Torah here, what is the association? That the Torah starts by telling us that you shall not hate your fellow man in your heart. You should, if you see him do something wrong, whether he's doing wrong to you, or he's doing wrong to another person, or wrong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you shall not hate him in your heart, but rather you shall rebuke him, admonish him, in order that he should correct his ways, he should correct what he is doing wrong. And then shortly after the following pasuk, it states, Leisikoim v'leisitor es b'nei amecho, you shall not take revenge from a person, v'yavta reyacha k'mecha ani Hashem, and you shall love your fellow man like yourself. To love your fellow man like yourself, this has to do with this mitzvah. This has to do with this mitzvah because if you do not love him, then you're not interested in correcting his ways. The correction of his ways, the admonishment, should come from the mitzvah of the Acht Reacha Komecha, that you should love your fellow man like yourself. This mitzvah is one of the Taryag mitzvahs, one of the 613 mitzvahs. It's a mitzvah asei, a positive commandment. The Rambam brings this in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, mitzvahs esei, reish hei, and the Chinuch brings it in this week's Parsha. And this mitzvah is one of the Ikrim Shel HaTorah. It's one of the main principles of the Torah, as we will see. And it's a mitzvah which demands chokhmah gedola, ve'orma gedola, great wisdom and great cunningness upon the mechiach, upon the one who is giving this admonishment, as we will see. Now, first of all, let's speak about techocha in general. We can ask a question: why was the Torah concerned with us giving rebuke to someone else? A person could say that the main thing is I should wash myself. Hashemer, ochi aneichi. Am I obligated to take responsibility for my brother? It's enough that I keep myself straight and I keep myself upright. Why do I have to concern myself with other people and with their doings and their mitzvahs and their averus? This kasha the Rambam asks. He asks this kasha, this question in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. And he answers at that hashkofa. Although we do find this hashkofa, we do find this outlook. Unfortunately, there are groups of Jews that say, we'll look after ourselves. The arvayanim, those that don't keep Torah, let them go to the devil. Let them worry about themselves. We have to look after ourselves. Rambam says that this outlook is hepech haTorah. This is contrary to Torah outlook. He states as follows: Aval anachnu mitzuvim shelenachte ushelay naze vezulaseinu meumaseinu shiyamre. We are commanded not only that we should not sin against the Kodesh Baruch Hu, but we are also commanded that we should not allow other people of Israel to sin against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And therefore, when we see other people of Israel who are going astray, doing something wrong, and we're capable of doing something about it, then just like we have to put ourselves in the right direction, we have to put other people in the right direction also. Now this is an important principle, and this is elaborated in the Gemara. The Gemara brings this in Masechta Shabbos, Perek Bana Behema, Daf Nun Dalet Omed Beis. The Gemara says Kol Mishef Shalimchais Le'inche Beisoy. Whoever is in a position where he can object to the way someone in his household is behaving, he can do something about it. Someone is his conduct is not proper. Velemicho, and he doesn't do anything about it. Nitfas al inshe beisoy. Then he will be nitfas al inshe beisoy. Rashi says nenesh al averus shebiyodan. He will be held responsible for their averus. The person in his house, he's the head of the household, father of the household, or the mother of the household, or one of the brothers, an older brother, an older sister. But it doesn't have to be older, because the Gemara says when it comes to rebuke, afilu kohen legodol, even a younger to an older, or someone who's lesser in wisdom to someone, even to someone who's greater in wisdom. If someone is in a position to do something about someone whose conduct is not proper, and he holds back, he says, look, why do I have to get involved? Not pleasant. Why? He likes non-involvement. And he doesn't do anything about it. Nitfas al inshe beisai. Not only it's an avera, that he's been mevatel, he's not fulfilling this mitzvah, but nenesh al yodon. Nenesh al avera shebi yodon. Not only he has not fulfilled this mitzvah, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu will hold him responsible for their averus, for that what he could have stopped. Be inche iray, nitfas al inche iray. What happens? What happens if he's in a position to do something about the people of a city? He's a leader of a community. Generally, a regular individual can't do something about what's going on in the city unless it's someone that he might know, a personal friend. But from the city people, the townspeople, he doesn't have influence over. But what happens if it's a person who has such influence? He's a leader in the community. He's a rov in the community. And he doesn't. So nitfas al inche iray. Then he will be held responsible for their averus. B'chol elam kulay. What happens if he's in a position to do something about the entire world? Rashi says, b'chol Yisrael. Who's in a position to do something for all of Israel? Kigon Melech Benosi Shef Shalaylim Chayis Shirein Miponav Magaymin Vorav. A king of Israel, Benosi, prince, great individual in Israel, and people have respect for what he says, and they'll listen to him, and he should say something, but he doesn't want to. Actually, the Gemara in Erechin calls this an onof shalelishmo, that this is someone who's acting with humility, not l'shem shamayim. This is the Gemara in Erechin and Avtes Vov. An onof shalelishmo. That humility, not in the name of heaven. Many times people say, "Look, I'm not going to get involved. I will play low profile in such a case, and I'll be humble." That's an avera. That's an onof shalelishmo. So in such a case, he would be nitfas al kol elam kula. He would be held responsible for the avedas of all Yisrael. Omar Apopo, Bahani de Bei Reish Galusa, Nitfasu al Kuli Alma. The Reish Galusa were those who were placed in charge of the Gelo, of the exile. And they had the power of a king. And people would listen to them. Or they could even do something. They could do something if there was lawlessness in the land amongst Klal Yisrael. They had the power to do something about it. And if they didn't, they are nitfas al kuli alma. They are held responsible. They are a shutef. They are a partner in those avedus. So we see that the hashkofa, the outlook, that look, let's take care of ourselves. I'll take care of myself. So I'll take care of my family, and the rest of the people, let them worry about themselves. It's not my business. That the Rambam says is that's hepech haTorah, that is contrary to the Das haTorah. The Maral says on this, why is this contrary to the Das haTorah? Because we have a klal, we have a principle, again one of the cardinal principles in the Torah, called Yisrael Arevim Zelozeh. That all of Israel carries responsibility one for the other. Now the Maral says this is something unique because we do not find this by other nations. We do not find by other nations where each one carries responsibility for the other. But we do find it by Israel. And the reason for this is because of the Achdus, the oneness of Israel. We always say, Goy echod bo'oretz, mika amcho Yisrael, goy echod bo'oretz, who is like Israel, a single nation. What does it mean, meant by a single nation? It's a nation of oneness. They are one. They're not an association of many people. They are not held together merely because of geography. They're not held together merely because of political reasons. Or even because they happen to be of the same race. But Goyechot Bo'oretz, there's a unique oneness by Israel that we do not find by other nations. And actually we see this. We see it all the time. For example, I'll give you an example. When Jews came to settle in South Africa, majority came from Lithuania, Latvia. If you speak to them, they all tell you the same story. They made a little money. What did they do with the money? A little they kept for themselves, and as much as they could, they sent back to Lithuania and to Latvia to their families there. They made a little more, they sent more back, until they could bring others over, others of their family. If someone didn't come and he remained there, they sent money there to support them. When Jews came here, they opened up all types of associations. There was the Bonovich Association, the Telzer Association, all types of groups which would help finance these people, to help them come or to help them get started, to help settle them. Now what? You don't find that by other nations. When someone leaves his land and he goes to a new land, he doesn't send half what he makes back to the land where he left. This you don't find by other nations. Or, and this was not only here, this was all over. Or another example, Jews from South Africa and all over the world are always pouring money into Eretz Yisrael. giving all the time to Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because they're one nation. They take responsibility one for the other. And the Maral says that the example of this that we say they're one, this means kiguf echad. They're like one body. And when you have a body and there's a ke'eva, there's an acheness, there is something, there's pain in one part of the body, the entire body feels this. The same thing with Israel. If there's a pain in one community of Israel, then all of Israel feels this. Actually, there's a Chazal that darshans that this is why Israel is nimshala letzov, why they compare to sheep. Because by sheep in particular, it states that when he has a pain in one part of the body, he feels it greatly, all over. And so is it with Israel. And just like in the body, you have different organs, different limbs, different parts of the body. But you have some parts which assume great responsibility for the entire body. For example, a finger or a foot. Every part of the body is important. Every part of the body is necessary, imperative. But still, the foot or the finger doesn't assume responsibility for the entire body. But if you take, when you take your vital organs, for example, the heart or the brain, this is assuming responsibility, this for in control for the entire body. And if it doesn't function properly, so the entire body is impaired by this. And whose fault is it? It's this organ's fault that he's not functioning the way he should. So is it when someone is in a position to do something in regards to the rest of Israel. Like we said, someone who's a leader in the city, or someone who is a Reish Gelusa, or a leader of world Jewry, or even a man who's a leader in his household. And if he doesn't fulfill his function, then it's his responsibility. And he shares in whatever averas might take place. From here also we see that the obligation of techocha, of rebuke, one might say this is for a person of great influence, but not for an average person like me. This is true. The only one who can give rebuke is someone who has influence over someone else. But we see everyone is in a position of influence. Not everyone is in a position of influence of the Reish Gelusa, a position of influence of a leader of a community. But everyone has influence in accordance to his circumstances and in accordance to his situation. For example, a father has influence, a mother has influence, an older brother has influence, an older sister has influence, or one friend over another has influence. And therefore, everyone is in this position, and this is the mitzvah which is incumbent upon them. Now we'll go to another point. Incidentally, the Rambam brings this. Rambam writes in Hilchas Tshuva, he writes something of interest. In Hilchas Tshuva, Perek Dalet, where he's speaking about this mitzvah, and he says how important it is for a person to always go to hear rebuke, otherwise he can never do tshuva, he doesn't know what's right or wrong. In Perek Dalet, Halacha Beis, he writes that this mitzvah is of utmost importance, lefichok tzorech lahamid b'chol kahal u'kahal mi'Yisrael. And therefore, in every community, it's the obligation of the people to get for themselves a chochem godel, a very wise person, a zoken, a person of stature, of age, yori shemayim in urav, a person who was God fearing from his youth, be'olhuv lehem, and who is beloved, shemechiach lerabim, that his job should be to rebuke the people, umachzirin lechuva, and to bring them back to tshuva. Now, this is the source where we have that in all of your communities, every Jewish community, they would have a rov. Many of them had two. There was what was known as a rov and a magid. But it was the job of the rov to be madrich, to lead the people in the proper way and to rebuke them when they did not do what was right. So this is where the Rambam brings this. Therefore, he says, this is a obligation on every community, on all of the people. Now, we'll go to another point. When there is techocha, when there's this admonishment, in the world, then this is a shmira gedola. This acts as a great force to keep everything in the right order. Because without this, when there is not rebuke in the world, then everything is nasig hefker. Everything becomes hefker. Hefker means where everyone can do exactly as he wants and nobody tells him differently. And before you know it, the distinction between good and evil is blurred. Is blurred or is lost. When you have mechiki, you have people that stand up and they admonish and they rebuke and they say that this is what is being done is wrong and this is what is being done and is right. This is the Shmira Gedola. This is a great force in the world to distinguish between good and evil, and then people know which way to go. Just imagine if we would have kings today. Some countries, they have kings. They have no power. But nevertheless, they have a great influence. Say, if you would have kings and they would stand up and they would constantly say that this is what is being done is wrong. And this is what is being done is right. So we would have a clarity in the world, a distinction between what is good and what is not good. But when nobody does this, then the barrier and the lines between tov v'ra, good and evil, are broken down and becomes hefker, becomes the world is like a world without direction. It's like a ship without a captain, and confusion sets in to the point where everyone, especially young people, old people many times had it from tradition, but young people, they come and they do whatever they please, and as far as they're concerned, they're doing what's right. And you can imagine the chaos and the destructive force this is for the world. Because of this, the sages told us that a person should be ahim esatei choches. A person should have love for rebuke. This is in the Mishnah in Masechta Ovis, where the Torah, where the Mishnah is telling us in Perekinyan Torah, if you want to acquire Torah, you have to have 48 attributes, Memches Dvorim. One of those is Ohev Esatei Choches, have a love for rebuke, because this tells a person what is right and what is wrong. This improves a person and leads him in the proper path. And in Masechet Tomid, Daf Chof Ches Omer Aleph, Rabbi Eimer, Rabbi says, Eizehu Derech Yishore Shiiva Leo Odom. What is the upright path that a person should choose for himself? Yav Esate Chochis. Let him love rebuke. She calls man Shite Chocha Ba'elom, because when there is rebuke in the world, when there are those who stand up and speak out for truth, Nachas Ruach Ba'olam. Then there is Nachas Ruach. There is a spirit of beauty and peacefulness in the world. Tova Ubrocha Bala Olam. There is goodness and brocha and blessing that comes to the world. Rami Stalekes Mina Olam. And evil is removed from the world. Because what is the Mechiach doing? When he rebukes, he is removing evil from the world. So if evil is removed and goodness is brought, it's a wonderful world. And others say also he brings emuna to the world. He brings emuna, trust and faith in the Almighty. And this is because of what we said. When there is no rebuke, then there is evil in the world and there's lawlessness in the world. And that brings, heaven forbid, pronius. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings punishment to the world. And it becomes a terrible place to live in. Like the world we're living in today. When there is techocho, when there is admonishment and rebuke, people stand up. And they stand up for what is right, and they fight against what is wrong. Then these are barriers. These are parameters. This is a guardianship for the world. And they bring the world into an upright path. And that's why Rebbe said, Eze derech yishora sheyivor eso odom. What is the upright way a person should choose? And they bring brocha and tova, goodness, into the world. Shlomo HaMelech said, King Solomon said in Mishle, in Perechom Dalet, Posechom Dalet, Aimel Rosho Tzadik Oto. If a person says to a Rosho, a person says to an evil person, Tzadik Oto, you are righteous. Ik Vuhu Amim Yizomuhu Leumim. The nations will curse him, and the Umim will also curse him. And the Gemara says, the Medrash says on that means afilo ubrim shmei imon, even the embryos in the mother's womb will curse him. This is the first part. This is the first pasuk. There's two psukim here. Now, what is he referring to? He says, "You say to a rosh or tzaddik ator. You tell an evil person you are righteous." But the Maral explains. This is all in his Nesiva Techocho. The Maral explains that this is one of the lowest levels that a person can come to. And this is worse than lies. Because when you lie, you don't necessarily have to mix up good with evil and evil with good. But the person who comes to the Rosho, comes to the evil person, and he says, Sadikato, you're a righteous person. So he's being machlif tevim ra. He's exchanging or ra im tov. He's exchanging good for evil and evil for goodness. And this is known as midas hachanufa. This is what is known as chanifa. Chanifa, chanufa is false flattery. And this, he writes, is the antithesis, the exact antithesis to techocho, to rebuke. Because rebuke is where you draw the lines. You say, look, I know you like what you're doing, and I know you think what you're doing is good, and it could be very beneficial to you, but I want to tell you it's wrong. Okay? And then you turn the other way and say what you're doing is right. There you draw clear lines between what is right and what is wrong. The antithesis is the Bala Hanufa, the false flatterer. It would be enough if he would keep quiet, or if he would just say lies is one thing, but he comes to the Rosh. He comes to the Grosh, evil person, and he says, Sadikato, you're a great man. This is evident, very evident in the world, unfortunately, most of the times, many of the times, and especially our times. Like you take, many people claim that, for example, Nobel Peace Prize winners, many times they claim are given to Rishoyim, evil people. Now, I don't want to go into particulars, but this is, I'm talking through and I'm referring to in general, many times in the world, who become the images of goodness? Who are the ones that the people take their hats off to? That they might give international awards to? And this is generations. Or if you, for example, go to the UN, we'll see who they're lauding. So they're saying to Orosho Tzadikato, what is actually happening is the erosion, the destruction between the boundaries of good and bad, of good and evil. This is what Shlomo HaMelech is speaking about. This was in his time too, so it's not only in our time. Eimel Rosh Tzadikoto, that the one who says to the evil one that you're a tzadik, you're righteous, Yikavu Amim, the end will be that nations will curse you. Yizaumu Yizomuhu Leumim, and even what it says, Meloim Yeloim Leomel Meloim Yemots Ein Leum Elo Ubrin, even the embryos in the wombs of the mother will curse you. And the reason for this is because these people are just contrary to the reality of the world. The reality of the world is the goodness in the world. Like we've always said, goodness, this is Metzius. What is true and what is good, this is the reality. Evil is the lacking of a true reality in the world. And that's what these people are doing. And therefore they end up being cursed by nations, and even by Ubrim, and even by the embryos, that they themselves are not a full Metzius, a full reality yet. Now, Shlomo HaMelech continues. He says, "V'lamechichim," but to those who rebuke, see, because this was the antithesis. The one who rebukes, that's the person who puts himself on the line, even though he's going to be criticized. And why do we find so many times that people say to a Rosh, "You're a tzaddik," because it's much easier, it's more convenient. They gain from it. They'll benefit from it. Because usually that Rosh is a person of power. The one who rebukes, and he is the one who puts himself on line, and he is the one who's going to be criticized for it. And the next morning, his name will be all over the newspapers, right, and all the editorials, that how dare him say something like that. But nevertheless, he says it. So then, Yinom, to him he will inherit beauty and pleasantness. V'lamechichim Yinom, he will inherit pleasantness and beauty. V'aleihem tovei birkas tov, Now the Shlema Melech uses the Loshen Rabim. He uses plural. And the Medrash darshins that this goes not only on the one who rebukes, but on the one who, the Misvakeach, also the one who accepts the rebuke. The one who rebukes and the one who accepts the rebuke, they will inherit pleasantness. Ba'aleim tov b'yikas tov, and they will inherit brocha of goodness. Because this is just the opposite. They are the ones who are making a division in the world between good and evil. They are drawing the lines of good and evil. And therefore they are building the world a reality. So therefore they will inherit Birkas HaTov, Brocha, and goodness. Also in Mishlei it states in Perek Tesvo of Posuk Lamed Aleph, Ozin Shomas Techachas Chaim Bekerev Chachomim Tolim. Ozin Shomas Techachas Chaim, the ear that listens to the rebuke which brings life to a person, then Bekerev Chachomim Tolim, he will rest amongst the wise. This brings wisdom. Why? Because, and this is the Medrash says, from here we see a makabel teichecho nasechocho, and when you accept rebuke, then this will bring wisdom. Because proper rebuke is wisdom. It's guidance. It's counsel. It's eitzo. And it's telling a person how he should walk and where he should turn away from. And therefore, when a person accepts it, so then he's being governed by the seichel, because he was going one way because this is the way that his goof, his body wanted to go. And now he's being drawn back because of the seichel, because of the mind, because of the spirit. So this is the midas chokhmah. This is the level of wisdom. And therefore, Bekerev Chachomim Tolin, he will have a place amongst the wise. So here we see the importance of the Mechichim, the importance of rebuke in the world, and the importance, Aives Ateichoches, the importance of accepting this rebuke. This is what the Rambam brings, for example, which we quoted. He said, someone who is seinei asatei chochesh, someone who doesn't like rebuke. This is from the Dvorim, the Chovdal, the Dvorim ama'akvin esatshuva. This is from the major things that will hold him back from doing what is right. Because someone who is seinei asatei chochesh, he doesn't like rebuke, he stays away from places where you'll hear what is right and what is wrong. He doesn't like to hear it. He'd rather go to places where he doesn't hear what is right and what is wrong. It's easier. So therefore, he'll never know what is right and what is wrong, and he'll never know what he's doing right or wrong. Therefore, it's me'ake v'sa tshuva. Therefore, it will hold back tshuva. And that's what the Rambam brings, what we quoted before, that it was a mitzvah in every community that they should have a chokham, a wise person, and a person who's respected, and ohuv, a person who's beloved. And his job is to tell the people what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong. That's his job. In order to be madrich, in order to lead the people. Now, on this point, this was a great problem in all generations. Our generation is no exception. If we look in our generation today, in general in the world, we see that we're living in a world not that is Aiva Satei Chochis, that loves rebuke, but is Seine Satei Chochis. They hate rebuke. And not only they hate rebuke, but they're mashtikim, they silence whoever opens his mouth to admonish. Whenever you have someone who will dare to open his mouth to say what is right and what is wrong, what is the proper direction and what is not the proper direction, not only they won't listen to what he says, but mashtikin, I say, they'll put a muzzle on him. I'll give you some examples. Today, if you talk about law and order, someone stands up and talks about law and order, what do you hear? You hear from opponents of law and order. And they speak about civil liberties. They speak about civil rights. They'll speak about racial discrimination. I'm not referring only here to South Africa. This is a universal problem. If someone will dare stand up and talk about law and order, you'll get a sermon, a whole drosha. They'll give you a lecture on what civil liberties are, citizens' rights, racial discrimination. If you'll talk about apprehension of criminals, we have to apprehend criminals. They'll give you a whole sermon on policemen that use excessive force. Policemen that will use excessive force in apprehending criminals. And it becomes a whole riot in America. Well, they burned down a city because of it. Incidentally, for those of you who think that was what that was is taking place here, this is kids' play. Because in Los Angeles there were 5,000 fires. 5,000. If someone will talk about conviction of criminals, all right, we've apprehended the criminal. Now let's convict him. All of a sudden, you'll get all kind of legal sermons. Criminal rights, non-submissive evidence, due process of the law. If you'll ever convict the criminal, after you have the right to apprehend him, and you have the right to due process of the law, and you finally, after 3 months of technical delays and strategies, you finally convict him, now we speak of punishment of criminals. We're not talking about purse snatchers. Punishment of criminals, of armed robbers that kill or brutal murderers or rapists. No. Then they'll talk about inhumane punishments and compassions for your fellow human being. Where was the compassion of the murderer against the victim? Why is it inhumane? Why is it more inhumane to do something to him that he did to others? Why shouldn't there be a simple law? Do to the criminal exactly what he did to the other. He shot him, so you shoot him. He necklaced him, so you necklace him. He burnt him, so you burn him. Why is that considered so inhumane? If that's inhumane, so why don't you do something about the inhumanities that the criminal is doing? Do something about it. And the other person that he killed, that was not with warning, and that was not after 3 years of lawyers and trials protecting and standing up for that other person's rights, and that was an innocent person. He shot, he strangled, he burnt an innocent person. And here we're talking about punishing a murderer. And you'll get sermons and droshos and philosophies by the doctors, the greatest professors in the world. They'll say, what are you speaking about? You're inhumane, they'll tell you. Where is your compassion? This is a aim el tzadik rosho. He who says to the righteous, he's wicked.
or to the wicked, he's righteous. It goes further. You speak about abortion. In America, this great group speaking about abortion. What do they get? They get all kind of sermons on freedom of choice. What do you mean abortion? Anti-abortion. You speak anti-abortion, get the greatest legal minds that money can buy. Freedom of choice. A person has a right to choose. He has a right to choose whether he wants the baby to live or the baby to die. If you speak about promiscuity in the media, we don't want our children to watch. I once quoted here, it was from one of the articles where they said that the average teenager or less than teenager watches on television in the course of race. I don't know, it was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of sex scenes during the regular normal course of watching television in a month or in a year. It even went into the thousands. People say we don't want our children to be exposed to this. We don't want our children to be exposed to such violence. We don't want our children to be exposed to such filth that you see in the media, that you see in the newspapers, in the magazines, the television, in the movies, the videos. Mashtikin, I say, silence him. And they'll write papers on freedom of the press, freedom of the media, censorship. Do you want to become, you want to be another Hitler? You want to censor us? Do you know how important a free press is for democracy? They'll call you a communist. This is a Ahmed. Exactly what Shlomo HaMelech is saying. Ahmed Rosh Tzadiku. That the one who calls says to the Rosh, you're a Tzadik, and to the Tzadik, you're the Rosh. Where today people don't know. They say, look, he's right. He's right. You want to tie the hands of the press? You want to take freedoms away from them? You want to take the rights of a criminal away from them? You're talking about Russia. This is the world that we're witnessing. And it goes further. It goes further. In the Western world, not so much in this country, because in this country, you can be thankful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you have a government that recognizes the Almighty. But in other parts of the Western world, and certainly in the communist worlds, if someone would stand up to say what is right and what is wrong, then in the communist worlds, they would eliminate you immediately. But in the other Western worlds, they would be mashtikin. They would get the courts to silence you because of separation of church and state. That don't bring in biblical values when it comes to affairs of the state. Separation of church and state. You want to speak biblical values? Go to your church and speak it. But how dare you bring in biblical values in the Senate or in the Congress or in the legislature because there's a separation of church and state. And there were many cases where teachers were sued because they were bringing in prayers or other such biblical values in schools which were supported by state funds. In the public school, government school system. This is the classical example of asene esatechoches. That someone will get up. He's not telling you if you should vote for President Bush or if you should vote for President Clinton. He's trying to tell you what is right and what is wrong. And they'll ask him, and what do you base it on? He says, I base it because this is what the Almighty said in the Torah. This is what he commanded the children of Noah. They'll say, I'm sorry. That's good for the church, but not for the state. This is the classical example of the world that we're living today, of asena satechoches, where rebuke is silenced in order that there should be a total confusion of right and wrong and wrong and right. And tragically, we see the outcome of it in the world that we live today. It's a world of hefker, of lawlessness. It's a world where the youth is destroying themselves. They're destroying themselves with alcohol. They're destroying themselves with drugs. They're destroying themselves with crime. They're destroying themselves with AIDS, and so on. Until it's like Shlomo HaMelech said. Now, we'll go to another step. When it comes to giving this rebuke, excuse me one minute, this rebuke, there are two very important principles, though, that one must know. And that is, and this takes great wisdom, firstly is the goal, the ultimate of rebuke is, as we mentioned, to direct the individual in the proper way, in the proper path, in the proper conduct. So therefore, it's for the sake of the misvakeach. Rebuke is for the sake of the one who's the recipient of it. It's not for the sake of the mechiah, for the sake of the one who's talking. And therefore, if Reuven rebukes Shimon, and he does not achieve anything, he comes to Shimon and he says, look, this that you're doing is wrong, and this that you're doing is wrong, and you must change your ways, and he doesn't achieve anything, he doesn't change Shimon, then he should know not only has he not fulfilled the mitzvah v'cheach techiach es amisecho, he has not fulfilled the mitzvah of rebuke, but many, many times he'll end up with a great aveira, an enormous aveira in his hands. And as we will explain. Now, let's go into this part. This is the first important principle when it comes to giving rebuke. Now, not like many people, that unfortunately, in every generation this existed. In our generation it exists also. And unfortunately there are very many people, many of them are well-meaning, but they're fools, and there's no other word for them. They are fools, tipshim, that they think that the mitzvah of rebuke is letzorech, is for the necessity, for the benefit of the mechiah, benefit for the one who's giving the rebuke, not for the benefit of the one who's hearing the rebuke. And you'll hear them say many times, it's a great mitzvah to say it. We must say it. We must say it. I used to hear from the great Chachomim and Gdailim that I had the privilege to associate with just the opposite. For vos daf zogendos. Why do you have to say it? In other words, they needed a good reason to open their mouths, not a good reason to close their mouths. This is what I used to hear from them. Here, Haltazo, you hold like this. Aber für was davon sagen das? You might hold like this, but why do you have to say it? But today, many times, you're just the opposite. It's a mitzvah to say it. It's a mitzvah to say it. And many of these people think that the mitzvah of rebuke is to say it. And they're wrong. The mitzvah rebuke is not to say it. The mitzvah rebuke is to change the other person. If by saying that you're changing the other person, then you have a great mitzvah. if by saying that you're not changing the other person, not only you don't have a mitzvah, so what are you opening your mouth for? But by opening your mouth, you can end up with great averus. And many times you'll have people who are saying, and they're darshaning, and they're giving sermons, and they're yelling, but ain't shomim, there's nobody listening to them. In such a case, shtika would be nifkeres. Silence would be golden. That's the first point. The prat in this, what we're saying. A second point is that if you're going to give a rebuke to someone, and if the whole purpose is to set him in the proper way, then you must know what the proper way is. You must be a chochem, you must be a wise person, at least in what the circumstances are that we are speaking about. Because this is guidance and counsel. How can you guide someone in the proper way? How can you counsel someone in the proper way if you yourself don't know what the proper way is? And when I say no, I mean to know in totality, to know in a clarity. It would be like a doctor. A doctor, any doctor in his right mind will not try to cure a patient unless he's confident that he knows what he's doing. But let's say he's not a doctor, he's a medical student. So what will a wise medical student say? He said, look, this is something I can't handle. I'll send you to a good doctor. Or, what happens when you come to a good doctor and he says, look, this is a little more complicated than I can handle, I'll send you to someone who specializes in this. Well, this is poshut seichel. And today also we have many people, they might be well-meaning, but there is no other term for them except tipshim, fools, that are always giving rebuke and advice and counsel of what a person should do and what a person shouldn't do, when they hardly know themselves what a person should do and what a person shouldn't do. And they bring great churban, great kilkul. They bring great destruction from this. Now, the Gemara tells us in Masechet Yevamos, Daf Samachei Omed Beis, it's a very important Gemara. Omer Rabbi Loi, Mishum Rabbi Lezer ben Shamua, Kishem Shemitzvah La'odim Leime Dover Anishma. Just like it is a mitzvah for a person to say something to his fellow man that he will listen to, Kach Mitzvah La'odim Shalei Loma Leime Dover Shalei Nishma. So is it a mitzvah on a person not to say something to his fellow man that he knows he will not listen to. If he will accept it from you, then tell him. If he will not accept it from you, then yofe ashtiko, then silence is golden, keep your mouth shut. This is what Reb Loi said. Reb Abba came along and said, I disagree with you. He said, you said mitzvah. Mitzvah means it's a mitzvah, but not incumbent. It's better to keep your mouth closed than to say something to someone that you know he won't accept. I disagree with you. Rabbi, I'm a chaver. I say not it's better, it's incumbent. Shenemar al teichach letz pen yisno echo. Again from Shlema HaMelech. Shlema HaMelech said in Mishlei, Tes, posuk ches, al teichach letz pen yisno echo. Do not rebuke someone who will scoff at you, because you will only bring him to hate you. Heichach lechochom v'yeavecho. You want to give rebuke, give it to the wise, because he'll listen and he'll love you for it. But someone who will scoff at you, now, because then he will, you're only going to bring hatred to you. So Rabbi Loi said, Mishum Rab Shabua, that if you have something good to say to someone, you see that you can set him right, he's doing something wrong and you can set him right. And firstly, we're speaking about a person that knows, if you don't know yourself, whether, if you don't have a clarity in yourself, whether it's right or wrong. Except you heard from someone, it's right or wrong. That's a fool. That's like a case of a medical student that decides he'll undertake a complicated operation. But if you know that you can set this person straight, but you know he won't listen to you, then you have, like we mentioned, you have a lot of another type of fool. It's a mitzvah sezogen. It's a mitzvah to say it anyhow. This is what you hear. Whether he'll listen or not, it's a mitzvah to say it. Who are you saying the rebuke for? Your sake or his sake? The Torah said to say the rebuke for his sake, not for your sake. It didn't say give you the mitzvah of rebuke so you can have an opportunity to say a drosha. It gave you the mitzvah of rebuke to straighten someone out. So then it's not a mitzvah shezogen. It's a mitzvah shelayla imar. It's a mitzvah to keep your mouth closed. That's what the Reb Loi is saying. If you listen, then it's a mitzvah to say it. If you won't listen, then he says mitzvah, it's a mitzvah not to say it. Mitzvah shelayla imar, dover shelay nishma. And on that, Reb Abba came along and said, I hold it's not only a mitzvah not to say it, it's a chayva. It's incumbent to keep your mouth shut. Because he'll come to hate you. The Maral brings in the end of Perek Gimel of Mesiva Techocho. He says, why is there a mitzvah not to say it? All right, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah Techocho. But why is it a mitzvah better not to say it? He says, because when you tell someone the words of Torah, you tell someone the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he doesn't listen to them, he says, this is a bizui godel, this is a great disgrace to the words of Torah. This is a great disgrace to the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For example, let's say the king came out with an edict and you tell someone and the person takes it and he spits at it or he tears it up. This is the greatest disgrace to the king. Therefore, if you're sure he's going to accept it, then it's a mitzvah rabbah, it's the greatest mitzvah to tell him. But if you know he's not going to accept it, so then you keep quiet. Now by it's a mitzvah sezogen, it's a mitzvah to say, you just disgraced Torah and disgraced HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You brought Chilul Hashem into the world. By telling him something and he rejects it, and you knew he would reject it. That's why he said it's a mitzvah. And he says, the other man, the Omer, came to say it's a cheva. There's two problems. Besides the fact that you're causing bizui HaTorah, but you're also geir melole atzmai. You cause evil to yourself. You cause badness to yourself. Because now you're causing someone, you're causing a person to hate you when it wasn't necessary. And you kept your mouth shut, you want to hate it. The Mesilas Yesharim brings in Shara Hasidus in Perek Chof Mishkola Hasidus. Hasidus is the highest level that a person can attain, and Hasidus means, well, we would say saintliness. It's enormous righteousness, enormous righteousness. And in the Braiso of the Pinchas Ben Yoya, so it comes after who knows how many levels. A person comes to Zrizus and to Zihirus. how many levels in Tahara and Kedusha? And he comes to Hasidus, who was a Chosid. The Gemara used to say, Ahu Chosid. A Chosid was someone that not only he knew the entire Torah and he fulfilled the entire Torah, but Elio used to come to talk to him. See, this was a Chosid. So the Mesivah Shishorim goes to great length to explain what's Hasidus. So he says, Mishkola Hasidus. He says, not everything that we think is Hasidus is Hasidus. Hasidus usually means to do more that's demanded from you. Bifnei Meshuras Hadin. So he gives many examples, which we've quoted before. One example he gives is what we're speaking about. He says, Hinei Hateret Sifso. This is in Perekhov. The Torah commanded, Hechiach Techiach Hasamisecho, that you should rebuke your fellow man, admonish him, that he doesn't go astray, that he comes back to the proper way. Come upon Mim. See, he's bringing here, he says, the real Hasidus is that on every act, you have to judge what is better. On every act, he says, the true Hasid will judge. He won't jump in and do it, but he'll judge carefully in a way that what is better, to do it or not to do it. So now he gives an example. The Torah commanded that you should rebuke your fellow man. There's many times that a person will come to rebuke his fellow man who's doing wrong in a particular place or in a particular time, in which his words will not be heeded. And this will cause that person to even become more stronger in his evil ways. When you tell a person what you're doing is wrong, and this person is very stubborn, very adamant, and many times by telling him, so Bedafka, he'll do it again. That'll make him even more to be adamant or to be rebellious. Ulechalel Hashem, ulehaisif al chatosim pesha. So because you told him something, you gave him rebuke, and in this case, because he wasn't prepared, or he wasn't ready to hear yet from you this. So this is making him do even more averus, and this is causing achil Hashem and causing more pesha, more averus. Hinei b'kayetzi b'ze'ena min hachasidus el alishtoi. So he says, then, in such a case, the chasidus, you want to be a chosid, you can be a chosid by keeping your mouth closed. Where do we know this from? He quotes our Gemara. V'chein omru zel, k'shem shemitzvah leima dova anishma, kach mitzvah shalei leima, esh'ein anishma. That just like it's a mitzvah to say something which will be heeded, it's a mitzvah not to say something which will not be heeded. And it's because of this that it was always the ways of the Chachmei Yisrael. This you found amongst the Litvisha, because the Litvisha were Balei Teira. You didn't find this amongst the Amaratzim, amongst the ignorant. Where Torah didn't prevail, where Torah was not the influence of Torah, or the influence of Chochmas at Torah, where the influence of wisdom of Torah was not prevalent, you didn't find this. But this you found, especially amongst the Litvisha, where the influence of Torah was so prevalent. This was known to them. And this is why many times you would always find there would be Megaletefach. What does it mean, Megaletefach? They wanted to tell someone something that he's doing wrong, but he wasn't prepared yet to hear it. They would tell him a little. So, you tell him a little. He's doing this much wrong. You tell him a little. And that he'll listen to. Then, another time, you tell him another little. That he'll listen to. Like the story was with Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Yisrael Salanter was the great mechiach of the generation. He went to rebuke a whole generation. And he went out west. He went out of Lithuania. He went to the western countries, of Hungary, of Austria, of Germany, because he says there it's more important. They were leaving Torah totally, the mitzvahs. They bring a story that when he would come to a house that would be Mechallel Shabbos, he wouldn't start dashing and yelling at them how they have to keep Shabbos, because he knew they wouldn't listen. He would tell them, look, do this for one Shabbos, don't light a fire. That's all. One Shabbos, don't light a fire. Give them a little. And when they would do that, and they saw it wasn't so bad, then he'd tell them a little more. And so forth. This was one point. Now a second point. When you give rebuke, and this is, firstly, we said that you shouldn't give rebuke to someone who's not going to listen. But a chokham, someone who'll listen, then it's a mitzvah. But even then, it has to be done with great wisdom and great cunningness. First of all, Rashi brings v'lei sisol of chet. What does it mean, v'lei sisol of chet? When you give rebuke, you have to be careful not to do it in a way that you embarrass the person. V'lei sisol of chet. You shouldn't do it publicly. You shouldn't do it in a way that you embarrass the person. The Gemara brings an erech in Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis. Omer of Tarfin, Toma ani im yesh bedor azeh shiyoch leichiach. Reb Tarfin said, I don't know if there's anybody in our generation, this is what Reb Tarfin said, that can give rebuke. Why? Because im yema tul kisem mibein shinecho, emelei tul kere mibein inecho. Because if you tell a person, take out, sometimes you'll see a person has something sticking out, sticking between his teeth. So you come to him and tell him, there's something sticking between your teeth. Remove it. So you're doing him a favor. Why? Because he cannot see it. He says, so Reb Tarfin says, in his generation, if you would go and tell a person that, he would say, take the beam, there's a big beam of wood between your eyes, take that out. What does that mean? So the Maral explains, he said, because the example of remove this between your teeth is an example, if you're telling a fella that, look, you're doing something not right, and I know you don't realize you're doing it, and therefore I'm telling you. See, that's the example where something is between your teeth and you can't see it. So he'll turn back to you and he'll say, you're telling me I'm doing something that's not right, that I can't see. I want you to know that you have a big beam between your eyes. You're doing something that's right in front of your eyes and still you don't see it. So Tarfin says, if people have that kind of attitude, how are you going to rebuke them? The minute you come and tell them that they're doing something wrong, so they turn around and says, I'm doing something wrong, you're doing 100 things wrong. So how are you ever going to rebuke them? So Reb Tarfin was frustrated. He says, Tomani, I don't know if in this generation there's anyone who's capable of giving a rebuke. Reb Lezer came along. He says, Tomani, yesh bedor hazeh mishe mekabel techocha. He was also very frustrated. He says, I don't know if in this generation there's anyone who's big enough to accept rebuke. You have to be a big person to accept rebuke. It says, like a chochem. Rabbi Kiva came along and he says, Toma ani im yesh bedor hazeh mishe de'alechiach. He says, I say, is there anybody in this generation that knows how to rebuke? So the explanation is, what is Rabbi Kiva coming along to add? So the Maral explains. Rabbi Kiva says, no. He says, the reason why you claim that you can't give a rebuke, because he'll challenge you with your Averus. So therefore only a saint can give rebuke. Someone who, there is no, you cannot entertain that he has any Averus. He would be the only one who could give a rebuke. And who's that in this generation? That's what the Reb Tarfon said. And Reb Lezer came along and he says, in our generation there's nobody who's great enough to accept rebuke. Reb Akiva says, I disagree with you. He says, you know what the problem is? The problem is because there's no one in this generation that knows how to give rebuke. If there was proper people that knew how to give rebuke, then you don't have to worry that they'll turn around and say, what are you talking to me for? Why don't you look at your own shortcomings? Or they won't accept the rebuke. Because to give the rebuke is a great wisdom and a great art. And this is what the Manal writes. I'll just quote. Manal writes, and this is in Perek Gimel, the beginning of Perek Gimel of Nesivat Teichocho. Ki bevadai le Teichocho tzorich chochma rabba mi'ayde. To give rebuke, this requires great wisdom. In order that the recipient will accept what is said, because the recipient is someone who's already gone astray, and for you to bring him back, straighten him out, takes great wisdom to be able to speak to him in a pleasant manner, divrei sfora, in a logical, clear manner, meod, until achadvorim nichnosim beliboy, until the words will go into his heart. And he brings there, ki harbe teile bezeh sheyichil hayseh achi megabel techocha, shetzorech al zeh chochma yaseira v'tachbeile gedele meod. That whether the recipient will accept or not, this is not so much dependent, this is what Rabbi Kiva said, this is not so much dependent on the stature of the one who's giving the rebuke, or on the wisdom of the one who's receiving it. This is dependent on the wisdom of the one who's giving the rebuke. Because this is it takes a great wisdom and a great cunningness in order to give this over properly. There were people that were able to be miyasher, straighten out many people, because they knew how to speak to them. They knew how to speak to them. They knew how to approach the matter. They knew what to say. They knew when to say, and they knew how much to say, and they knew how to say it. And they would say it, like the Maral says, with a wisdom, and with sfora gedola, and with a great logic, with great logic and clarity, and ne'imus, and in a pleasant manner, and a beautiful manner. And these were the people that were capable of giving rebuke. Another person comes and he says it at the wrong time, the wrong place, to the wrong person. He says too much. He doesn't say it properly. He says it with harshness, or he's critical, or he says it with anger, or whatever it might be. Rabbi Kiva says the reason why we see in our generation people are not accepting rebuke, that's because any idea, there is not someone in the generation that knows how to give rebuke. Because this is a great wisdom and a chokhmah gedolah. And this, for example, we must conclude now. But just to make mention, we all know of the Gemara, which we've quoted many times, of Hillel, the Gemara in Shabbos. Hillel was a man of great rebuke. You wouldn't think that, because he was so wise in the way he gave the rebuke. When many people came to Hillel, many converts, and others. They would go to Shammai, and Shammai would get angry and drive them out. They came to Hillel, and with a few words here and a few words there, later on they said, "In Vasanusai Shil Hillel." It was the humility and the beauty of Hillel that brought us, Kirvan Tachas Kanfi Ashkina, brought us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or like the Gemara says in Brochus that we quoted, the Gemara and Daf Yud Zayin, that the Gemara says, La'elam te'ya odam orum b'yira. A person always has to be cunning when it comes to Yiras Hashem. And Rashi says, kol mine tach b'ilis. He has to think of all types of strategies. The Gemara brings the pasuk from Shlema HaMelech Mishle, Tezvov manirach meshiv chema. That when a person is angry, if you shout back at him, then that just flares up the fire more. But if you answer him, manirach, if you answer him with a soft tongue, that diffuses the situation. They say there were many great statesmen, it's written, that had a very proper sense of humor. That many times they would diffuse enormous situations just by saying a little something humorous, okay, which would bring everyone back to their senses, and they would realize, what are they fighting over? Okay. This is the chokhmah. So this evening we spoke about the great mitzvah of Echeach Techiach HaSamisecho, Lelesisol of Chet, that you should rebuke your fellow man. And we said, what does it mean, rebuke, in the world? Without it, it's a world of lawlessness. It's a world where good and evil are interchanged and totally confused and obliterated. And therefore, one has to Ohev, he has to Ohev Asatechocho, but he has to love the rebuke. And then we spoke about who to rebuke. Someone that it will be acceptable to. The Chochom, but not the Leitz. He who wants wisdom, but not the one who scoffs. And then, the way it has to be done. Because the mitzvah is to be miyasher, to improve the other person, not to give yourself an opportunity to talk. Therefore, that must be achieved. So it must be done in a way when it can be achieved, where it can be achieved. But if you do it and you do not achieve it, then not only you have not fulfilled the mitzvah, but many, many times it ends up to be then a great aveira biyodei, like we explained. So this is the mitzvah of Echeach Techiach Es HaMisech.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.